Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
Perhaps you remember this ad from the recent presidential campaign.
It's 3 a.m. and your children are safe and asleep. But there's a phone in the White House and it's ringing. Something's happening in the world. Your vote will decide who answers that call. Whether it's someone who already knows the world's leaders, knows the military, someone tested and ready to lead in a dangerous world.
Well, it turns out voters actually went with Barack Obama, but the person answering that phone call is the person who paid for that campaign ad, Hillary Clinton, since she's now the Secretary of State. That was one of her campaign ads back in 2008 when they were both arguing and claiming the other was not prepared or best to serve the country as president.
Now they can text each other.
That's exactly That's right. Yeah. 2 years later, he's the president, she's the Secretary of State, and they're actually making a pretty good team, according to all reports. Michael Hirsch joins us. He's senior editor for Newsweek's Washington Bureau, and he's got the details on this kind of good cop, bad cop relationship. First of all, Michael, is that kind of fair? Is perhaps Barack Obama in the White House portraying themselves as good cop and bad cop, with Hillary kind of being the punisher?
Well, no. I mean, I didn't certainly in reporting this story, that's not the way it was portrayed to me, but it is the way that we perceive it. And I think what was particularly striking to us in watching her perform over the last few months is how she has been the one to go out and deliver these tough messages. You know, she did deliver the speech calling Iran a military dictatorship. You know, she was the one detailed to go in and give Benjamin Netanyahu a talking to after the Israelis were recalcitrant on settlements and so forth, and to deliver a very tough internet speech on China as Google was having its standoff with Beijing. So, you know, clearly that is what's playing out on the world stage.
Well, one of the things that you describe in your article is you talk about when she very first took her position as Secretary of State, that she would actually refer to the White House and the staff as they. She would talk about them in the third person,
yeah,
not including herself.
Right.
But then a big change happened, and it happened in Copenhagen. Describe to us this tipping point.
Well, it was really remarkable by the account of Hillary herself and other people who were there. The meeting was just falling apart. This was in late December of last year. This was the heir to the Kyoto Protocol, what was supposed to be a whole new global agreement on climate change. And nothing was working. No one wanted to cut a deal. And in fact, on the last day, the Chinese were meeting on the sly with some other major developing nations. And Obama and Hillary were just looking for the Chinese because Obama kept getting put off by them. They decided they were just going to barge into this meeting, and so they did. And it was like a diplomatic version of Starsky and Hutch. They just went into the room to the surprise of everyone there and started negotiating. And it was a bonding experience, you know, in a good cop, bad cop, you know, like you see in those buddy cop movies. And I think they really came out of it with a sense that they can work as a team.
Well, what you outline a number of specific things in which you say Obama's foreign policy has changed since Hillary started really wielding influence. And I'm wondering, where does the balance tip here? Who's writing foreign policy? Is she doing it, or is she carrying out Barack Obama's orders?
It's an ongoing question. Clearly, Obama is still setting, you know, grand strategy. But what you've seen is an evolution from the beginning of his term, where there was a sense, I'm a transformational figure, I'm going to deliver these grand speeches in Cairo and in Prague on changes with the, you know, with the Muslim world and on nuclear nonproliferation, and that's going to change things on its own, to a much tougher, you know, down in the weeds, we've got to cut deals with some of these countries, as they did in Copenhagen. I mean, one of the reasons the Copenhagen negotiations succeeded as much as it did, which was, you know, a partial success, was because Hillary and Obama had come up with this idea to offer $100 billion by 2020 to the developing nations to give them assistance in climate change. It was kind of a global bribe, if you will. And so that what you've seen is things heading more in the direction of the kind of pragmatism that Hillary espoused and that she stood for as a senator. You know, it's subtle, but it is unmistakably there.
But do you get the sense that he is consulting her often and really being advised by her?
Yeah, we do. And the other thing that clearly is changing is the internal politics in the administration. Hillary has formed a very close alliance with Robert Gates, the defense secretary. I mean, the absolute opposite of the relationship, say, between Donald Rumsfeld and Colin Powell during the Bush administration, which was just radioactive. And beyond that, she has a very close relationship with Vice President Biden, who, of course, is a foreign policy maven. So that makes up for a very powerful faction, if you will. And in the face of that, the National Security Council under Jim Jones is somewhat diffuse in terms of the way it's administering power. So what you're seeing is Hillary lining up allies in the way she did in the Senate and getting her way. She and Gates, for example, got their way on Afghanistan in terms of pushing for Obama's surge.
So there's a legacy question already here in right. the middle of the Obama administration, in that Hillary Clinton has managed to increase the profile of the State Department way beyond what it was under George W. Bush.
I think so. You know, there's no question. If you talk to people in the building, they're impressed with her advocacy. One of the things she did was set up this sort of electronic bulletin board where people could lodge complaints. A few people complained they didn't have showers in the basement because they like to go out and jog. You know, she made sure of that. So you do see a higher morale there than under Condi Rice.
And do you get a sense that Hillary Clinton has actually embraced this job, or is she placing herself politically for her further political ambitions?
Well, the $64 million question. I do think she has embraced it. I think she's enjoying it. It's impossible to tell, particularly with a woman who conceals her feelings, you know, so well. But that is the impression of everyone, that she's actually stepped into the job and kind of enjoyed it. That doesn't say she's going to stay in it, you know, for forever. And I asked her, you know, will you even last out the first term? And she was you know, sort of cagey about even that. Whether she's thinking about another presidential run, I just think is too far off, because 2012 is clearly out. You know, Obama's going to run again. It would be unlikely in the extreme she would run against him then. And then you're looking at 2016, where she's going to be really on the verge of 70, I think. So, you know, those are questions that have to be answered down the line.
Michael Hirsch is a senior editor in Newsweek's Washington Bureau. He joined us from Washington. Thanks so much.